All right, go back with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, that Brother Samuel read to us. Matthew 11. Many, if not most, have heard this before. It's not the exact same message by any means, but yet it is. But there are no sweeter words uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ, no more wonderful words than these right here that he said. In verse 28, let's read that again. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. What is it to come to Christ? And I hope, what I hope, my prayer is that everyone in here would come to Christ this morning. Even if you have already, we need to come to Him today. Today. What is it to come to Christ? Who may come? Christ. Who will come? How do we come to Christ? What does that mean? And then what? If we do come, what then? What is it to come to Christ? To come to Christ. It's not a physical move. Brother Scott Richardson said this years ago. He said, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. What it means to come to Christ is to need Him, like hunger and thirst, like being poor. You need a handout. Our Lord said this, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness." Well, what's that? Christ is righteousness. Christ. How will they be filled? He says they will be filled by Christ. Christ in you. Christ in you. To come to Christ is to need Him. To come to Christ is to believe Him. Faith. Faith. Believe that He and He alone can and must meet your need. You need Him. And to come to Him is to believe that He and He alone must, can and must meet that need, that He is able. Paul said, "I am persuaded to believe from the heart that He is able to keep that which I've committed." You see, there's the faith. Folks go hunting for this and that and the other, you know. People hunt for churches. We're looking for a church. Well, there's one on every corner, so to speak. But if God Almighty will cause you to start searching for Christ, when you do find and hear the message of Christ, Him, where He is, where He's preached, your searching is over. You've come to Christ. You've come to Christ. And to come to Christ not only is to need Him, not only to believe Him, but is to leave everything and everyone else to come to Him. Everyone in here left something and perhaps someone. Perhaps someone in here left an unbelieving mate, a spouse, or children, or whoever, parents. You had to leave them to come here to hear Christ, to worship Christ. You've left all else to come to Him. And that's what our Lord said. Any man would come after me, let him deny himself, forsaking all others. We leave the world. We leave the world to come to Christ. And God has to show us that there's nothing in this world, it's vanity, and show us the beauty that is Christ, the glory that is Christ, to leave or to come to Christ is to leave self. Like we just said, family, friends, personal desires and ambitions and so forth. If Christ is made to you altogether lovely, your true need, then you won't, it won't be a sacrifice to leave anything or anyone else. Not at all. To come to Christ is to leave religion. Everyone who hears, you know, see, Christ would come into Jerusalem on occasion and preach, but most of the time, majority of the time, he was outside of the camp. You see, they hated him. They rejected him. Religion is full of people and religious leaders, but they rejected the truth. They rejected Christ, the truth. And so if you were going to go to Christ, you had to go to him outside the camp. You had to leave organized religion that the vast majority of the people were part of, bearing his reproach. If you followed Christ, you'd be hated just like he was. It hasn't changed. Things haven't changed. Man hasn't changed. We go to him, we go to him and have to leave religion. Christ is not in all this mess that goes by the name of religion today. I'll give you the test. I'll tell you how you may know. Is Christ getting all the glory? Is he really? You listen. You watch. Is God, is Christ getting all the glory, or are men sharing it? Are men getting it? Are people being pointed to Christ and him only for salvation? Are they exalting, glorifying, honoring, preaching Christ and him crucified preeminently? Or are they pointing to what you may be, what you may become, what you must do, and so forth? That's how you know. That's how you know. Spirit-filled preaching. Everybody likes to talk about that, don't they? How may you know? Christ said it. He said, the Spirit will take the things of mine and show them unto you. He'll not speak of himself. Wherever the Spirit of God is, the people of God are not talking about the Spirit of God so much as the Christ of God. Because the Spirit bears witness of Christ. And so does the witnesses that God Almighty sends. He's not left himself without a witness. And who do they bear witness of? Christ. He's the Savior. We're going to see this here in a moment. To come to Christ so as to leave religion, to turn from idols, all this man-made stuff. And what about religion today? Is it truly taking the Scriptures and searching and looking, word, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept? And in them Christ said, they are they which testify of me. Is Christ being brought out? Huh? Well, wherever he is, that's where he is. That is, wherever he's being declared, lifted up, that's where he is. That's where he is. So it's to leave religion, to come to him. If people see Christ as all they need, they're all and in all, he's all they need. That sounds real simple, doesn't it? How do you know where Christ is? It's where he's being preached, and the people want to hear Christ. If people don't want to hear him, want to go after others, Christ is not there. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw who? My people. My people. Well, I've lost some of you. We need to come to Christ this morning. I mean, today. Today's the day of salvation. Don't take it for granted you have. To come to Christ is to come to Christ. He said, come unto me, and nothing and no one else for salvation. See, we come to Christ as our, and in many things, there's so many descriptions of our Lord, offices, works of our Lord in Scripture. He's called prophet, priest, king, Christ, mediator, and so forth. We come to Christ as our prophet. There's a bunch of people running around today love to call themselves prophets, don't they? Don't they? We've got a school of the prophets. All these people love to talk about being a prophet. I don't need a prophet. Do you? Prophet is someone who tells us future events, something, things that haven't happened. Over in John chapter 4 is a woman at a well. And she said, talking to this man, his preacher was standing in front of her, and she said, well, when Christ has come, he'll tell us all things. She knew what the Scripture said, that there'll be a prophet raised up. Him, the people will hear. She said, when Christ has come, he'll tell us all things. Christ said, I that speak unto thee am. And we don't look for another prophet. And any woman who comes along calls herself a prophet or prophetess, don't need you. Go home, thank you. He's told us all things. My prophet, our prophet, has told us all we need to know. Don't need an extra revelation, Mr. Joseph Smith. Moroni, that angel, Mormon. Don't need an extra revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is all I need. Thank you. Besides, he said, if you add one word or take away one word, you're judged. Come to him as our prophet. That woman did. Come to him as our priest. I have a priest that I confess to. And he's not in a little booth. He's not a sinful man. He's the great and high priest. You know, people feel a need. Why do people go into those booths and confess their all their perversion and stuff to a man behind there? Why do they do that? Huh? Well, not only is it tradition, but people feel a need to confess their sin and their guilt, thinking that, you know, confession's good for the soul. Well, it is if you confess to the right person. It won't help you to confess your sins and your guilt and so forth to a man. He can't do anything about it. And he better keep it a secret. If he doesn't, you're worse off than when you came in, aren't you? Only Christ can and will remove that sin and the guilt that goes with it. There is no removal of guilt. People have guilt, so they have to confess it. You know, confess it. There's only one person that can remove the guilt because he removes the sin. How's that? By paying for it. Guilt removed, sin forgiven, paid for. See, sin is against God. That's why repentance, confession of sin, is to God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. And who can forgive sins but God? So who do we confess to? God. Who's God? Christ said, I am. So I have a priest. Oh, I'm thankful I have a priest. I confess to him. We need to confess to him. If you have guilt, you have sin, who doesn't? You better confess it right now. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't hear me. So what do? Confess it. To our priest. He's our priest. He's our king. We come to Christ as king. King. There was a man hanging on a cross right beside the Lord. He said, Lord, he was about to die. He was about to die. He was about to go out into a realm that he didn't know anything about. Eternity. Some kingdom or realm. And by the grace of God, he saw that man hanging on the cross, that crucified one, as his king. And he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And we come into this morning. We come here this morning. And we come, I hope, from the heart, saying the same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Lord, I've heard about your kingdom. Would you remember me? Can I come in? Can I be a part of your kingdom? Thy kingdom come. Can I come?" "I hear these people of yours, these Israelites, are going to the promised land. Can I go too?" Who decides? I'm going to preach a message, Lord willing. I may not get to it. But from over in, where is it? Judges. John, you like the book of Judges. Chapter 7, I believe. Yeah, 6. Where Gideon chooses his men. God does. Out of 32,000, 300 went in. And I'll give you a little clue who went in. Who God said would. Apply. Who went in was who God said. He said, "As many," and I'm giving it away. I might not get to it, Sherry. But he said, "As many as I say shall go with you, Gideon, the same shall go with you. And as many as I say shall not go with you, Gideon, the same shall not go with you." Lord, can I go? It's who you say goes. The only reason you cry or come is because he said to. The difference between that one thief hanging there that saw his king and asked him to be included and the one who was cussing him and died and was left out of the kingdom, the difference was the sovereign electing mercy and grace of God. It's the same with us. Because we're all thieves. Stealing God's glory. Haven't given it, come short of the glory of God. My, my. We come to Christ as our God and our King. Our God and our King. King, look at verse 27. He said, right before this, he said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father." All things. All power. The last thing he heard, or his disciples heard him say, was this: "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go." Here he says, "All things are delivered unto me. Come." What do you need? I'll tell you who has it. Whatever it is. Joseph. He has the storehouses. You see, the king has put him in charge of all things. You know that story? Over in Genesis, Christ is the King, our King. Everything belongs to Him. What do you need? You go to Him. He has it all. It's His to dole out. According to the measure of Christ, the grace of Christ. We go to Christ. We come to Christ as Savior. The reason, it says come. The reason we say come is go sounds like somewhere you've been. Doesn't it? Come always, Jenny, come always implies that it's something you're doing right now. Doesn't it? Huh? I know country people say, "Well, he come over the other night." But that's bad grammar. He come over and he came. He went. They go, but come. Now, today, right now. We come to Christ as Savior. Listen, you don't need a Savior this morning. I don't need a Savior this morning. Lord, save me from myself in this preaching. Lord, save me from ignorance. Save me from flesh. Save me, Lord, from sin. It's killing me. If you leave me alone, if you don't save me, I'm going to go under. This, my sins are going over my head. Save me. When? Now. Save me from my thoughts. My mind's wandering. Lord, I'm thinking about who knows what. What are you thinking about? I don't know. God knows. And you have no control over it, do you? No control over it. You try. Get my thoughts on you. Lord, save me. Sin. Satan. Satan hath desired you. Who? Not just Peter. You and you and you and me. Satan hath desired you. To sift you like wheat, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he's devoured a world of people better than us. Lord, save me. Come to him as our Savior. Save me from the world. Two people over 20 went into the promised land. Two. There were 2 or 3 million that went out of Egypt, and they saw for 40 years glory, glory. Two people, Henry. Two people. Two adults went into the promised land. Why? It says they were overcome by the world. They were passing through. They didn't have here any continuing city. They were passing through, but passing through, Nancy. Vanity Fair got a hold of them. Look. Look. Oh, she's beautiful. He's beautiful. They took their eyes off the altogether lovely one. Their rock. Oh, I got to have that. And they said, oh, I'd love to go back there. God was not pleased. They perished in the wilderness. Perished where? In the world. Barbara, in the world. They were overcome by the world. How am I going to overcome the world? How am I not going to be overcome by the world? He said, this is he. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth? Believeth what? Lord, save me. We can't. Satan, when he came to Christ, he tempted him with three things. He said, miracles. Cause the stone to be made bread. Then the kingdoms of the world. Look at all this stuff. I'll give you all this stuff. You cast yourself down from the king, to show yourself who you are. And Christ withstood him, overcame him and the world. And he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You can't. You can't do it. I did. Come unto me. Are we getting it? We need it today. Come unto him. I like Brother Samuel sitting there. We were talking about how right now there's hundreds of thousands of people sitting in an arena watching little go-karts go. Well, NASCAR, same thing. That care less about God, about Christ, about worship. Who cares? Who makes us different? If given a choice. Overcome by. And we were talking about, Sam and I were talking about how we like cars as much as anybody. I wish we didn't, don't you? Well, we do. We like cars. Still like cars. We like cars. We were kids, didn't we? Didn't they, Nancy? You, Stephen, and Sammy? My, I did too. I've had as many cars or more cars than most people have in a lifetime. Well, why am I not overcome by, taken by them? Why is it that I'm not consumed with? It's not my life now. The mercy of God. And I can still be overcome by him. Lord, save me. Lest I be overcome by the world. And here's the worst. Here's my biggest, our biggest. Lord, save me from myself. I can't do anything with me. Can you? You ever say this to your teenager? What am I going to do with you? Barbara, I remember my dad saying that to me. What am I going to do with you? And he tried. Nothing. He couldn't do anything with me. There's only one who can. And it's still the same. I can't do anything with me. Can you? Who can? Lord, save me from myself. Would you do something with me? Do something about me? Huh? Self. We come to Him. My. We come to Christ as our Father. We come as a little child. He said, come unto me. We come to Him as our Father. He said, you need to come as a little child. Little children don't know much, do they? Our Christ is our wisdom. We come to Him, Lord, help me. I'm ignorant. I'm still ignorant. 40-some years old, 50-some years old, 60, I'm still ignorant. 70-some. Lord, would you be wisdom to me? Wisdom. Come to our Father knows best. You know that, don't you? Always does. He still does. He that's seen me, Christ said, has seen the Father. We come to Christ, our Father, as protection. I told you about that story, didn't I, when we were living in the trailer, when we were trailer people, and we were living right out here. And the worst thunder and lightning storm that I've ever experienced, I guess it's because it's the first one I was living in a trailer and heard it. Because you're living in a metal box, you know, a thunder and lightning storm, your whole house shakes. And it's a lightning rod. But we were in that trailer, and at the time, my parents were with us. At the time. And it woke me up. It was just horrendous. Thunder and lightning. Woke me up. And I think Hannah came in. She was just a child. Well, not 9 years old. And she came to me, scared. Well, I got up and went in the living room. And there my dad stood. Because I was scared. The truth be known, I was glad my dad was there. He didn't seem too scared. But you know what? I bet he was. The point is, Father, Dad, save me. Protect me. I can't protect myself. I can't protect my children. I can't protect my children. They're going to get out in that car doing 70 miles an hour. And the majority, young people, the majority of fatal crashes by teenagers is a one-car crash, meaning they're going too fast and either talking on the cell phone or adjusting the radio and a wheel goes off the road. The majority of them, one wheel goes off the road, they're not experienced enough to correct it, and they're killed. Too fast. Too busy. You hear me, Anna? I may save your life if you listen to this. Elizabeth, you hear me? Lauren? There's a reason for those speed limits. Is it okay for me to say that, parents? You better hope they hear me. Going too fast. Too busy. Your business is to pay attention, as it is now. Might save your eternal life. But why did I say that? We can't protect them, can we, Margaret? We're going to put them out in that car. Doesn't matter if it's a Volvo with airbags or seat belts. It won't save them, will it, Nancy? Lord, watch over them. Please. If you don't, save their souls before they go to be with you. Come unto me. It's in a past thing. This ain't a one-time thing. This is a daily thing. Come to Him, Teresa. Beg Him. Lord, restrain Blair. Come now. Today's the day of salvation. She is hearing this message today. Is this serious? Oh, my. Come unto me. Christ says, come unto me. Come to Him as our physician. Our physician. We all have leprosy. Our children have leprosy. The Lord doesn't do something about them, they're just going to rot. I've got friends, you do too, who have children in jail, rotting away, getting worse and worse. The Lord doesn't save them. Come unto me. Come unto me. We come as a dying man. Any woman in here with an issue of blood? Still? You have an issue? Come on. The only one. She suffered many things of other physicians, so-called. Well, he took care of the issue. He took care of the issue. Come on. Who may come? It's my second point of five. Are you worried? What could I have left out in all that? Who may come? Look at our text. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He didn't say, Van Ogle may come. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he didn't say that? That means I can't come. Dan, you better be glad too, because there might be I guarantee you there's another Dan Ogle. Guarantee. Many of them. He didn't qualify it, did he? No names are mentioned. No qualifications are mentioned except this. All that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor. Oh, I wish the world, I'd love to preach this to the world, but I'm not preaching it to you. There are many people all over the world laboring to get to heaven, trying to keep the Sabbath, their morality, their works, and so forth of righteousness, laboring to get rid of sin and guilt, you know, trying to atone for their past, trying to pay for their past, trying to undo their past or present. Christ said, come unto me. He quit laboring. You young people, let me talk to you one more time, okay? You're going to labor. You're labor to find yourself in the world. You're going to go out and you're going to try to find yourself. That's what we say. You try to find yourself. You know what you'll find when you find yourself? You'll find trouble. Trying to find true love. Try to find true love. Trying to find a husband. Trying to find a wife. What you'll find is trouble. If you don't find Christ. Is that right? Sure, you. If you don't find the man who loves Christ, you've got nothing but trouble. Trouble. You'll find labor to find a career. And what you'll find is, can't wait to get out of the house. Can't wait to get out of the house and find myself and find my career. So what you'll find is, you'll be going to work for 60 years. And you'll work all day long, every day, just for a few hours of rest. And you'll turn over all your paycheck to the telephone company and the bank and all of that. Won't you turn it all over and you'll have very little left. In the beginning, you won't have enough for gas. You won't have enough to pay for a hamburger. You'll sit in the house and do nothing. When all you're home, somebody paying for everything. You thought you had it bad. Couldn't wait to get out so you could pay for it all. And if that isn't stupid, what you will find is a lifetime of labor. Work. It's hard work.
until you reach 70 years old, and then you can quit.
Unless you're Henry Sword. And you won't quit. You still got to make money. Pay for Roberta's thing. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Well, here's the fact of the matter. You work. Can't wait to get out so I can what? Work labor. Well, that's dumb, isn't it? If all I had to do was go sit in a classroom for 6 hours a day and then come home and, you know, do a couple hours of study or sweep a floor and then go play. Whew! Wouldn't that be wonderful? Labor. Well, but there's a people laboring in religion, laboring in work, laboring, a lifetime of working to achieve morality or righteousness, or trying to get God to have favor upon you won't work. Like working in this world, a lifetime of work, and then you end up in a nursing home and you give it all to somebody else and they spend it. And in your dying day, you don't get any of it. Just lay there with tubes in you. What was it all for? Why'd you work so hard? That's the way it is. Well, Christ says, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, weight. You ever been heavy laden? That means a burden, carrying a heavy burden, bearing this heavy burden, weight weighs you down. You know what depression is? People suffer depression. You know what it is? It's guilt. That's behind it all. That's right. God said there is no rest for the wicked. They don't know what it is. And they become weighed down, depressed. Guilt. It's against God. It's only one place to remove that burden. Come unto me, Christ said. Cast your care upon Him. The weight, guilt, sin, the world, all your responsibilities. We have them. Tell we have them. We're fathers and husbands. We have them, and we're to assume them. He says, come unto me. Cast all your care upon me. What we realize is we weren't bearing it at all. We weren't bearing it at all. Come unto me today. Come unto me. Who will come? Christ said this. You don't have to turn. He said, no man can come unto me. He said to some, you will not come unto me, that you might have life. You will not. He said, no man can come unto me. John 6:44. No man can come unto me except my Father draw him. Draw him. Said that twice. John 6:37 and John 6:40. Didn't write it down. But he said that twice. And who will come? All that the Father giveth me, he said, shall come unto them. All right, now listen to what he said. He said, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Well, over in Jeremiah, he said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn. I want you to get a hold of this now. If you've come to Christ, all of these things we're talking about, prophet, priest, king, Lord, Savior, God, King, Father, wisdom, so forth, huh? Protection. If you have, and you do, you must be loved by God. If you're not going to another priest and you see Christ, you must be loved of God. All that the Father, with everlasting love. And he gave you to Christ. All that the Father giveth me, what? Shall come to me. That's good news, isn't it? Huh? If you have come and do come, who will come? All that the Father loves, all that the Father draws, all that the Father gives to Christ, they will come. Oh, that's the good news, isn't it? Huh? Did you hear that? And so if you see need of Christ and you believe Him and come to Him, all these things, you've been loved, you've been drawn, you've been given to Christ. And He said in that same chapter in John, He said, I will in no wise. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh to me, I will... I said there were no sweeter words spoken by the Lord. These are just as. I will in no wise cast out. From the worst harlot to a dying thief, all manner of sin shall be forgiven. How do we come to Christ? As a sinner, we come in prayer. Nobody can come for you. You've got to come. Young people, you've got to call on the Lord yourself. Do you hear that? You've got to call on. Do you hear that? Are you listening to me? I want to see that you're listening to me. You've got to go home and get in your closet and ask the Lord to reveal Himself to you. You're not going to get in that glory by your mama or your daddy. You're not going to do it. He's dealing with you personally. Prayer. Lord, save me, or I perish. Come to Him in the Word. This is what we're doing this morning. Congregation, Christ is where His people are, where two or three are gathered. And we come continually. Peter said, to whom coming? To whom coming? It's not a one-time thing. I need Christ now more than I did in the beginning. Lord, revive me in the midst of years. I need Him now more than ever. Huh? What we needed Him in the beginning because we were rotten, no good sinners. We need Him now because we're rotten, no good sinners. Help us, poor and needy. We will need Him to the day we die because, you see, we're the same yesterday and today, our nature, and tomorrow. Thank God. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And we can come. He said, come unto me. Old sinner, young sinner, come unto me. And what do we find? What then? We come to Christ. What then? He said, I will give you rest. I will. No one else. Not the church. Not activities. Not marriage. Not career. Not this, not that. I will give you rest. Rest. You know, the older you get, about one of the sweetest things in life is what, Jenny? You're nodding your head. Sleep. Rest. Young people, sleep. I remember when I was growing up and Sunday afternoons, my parents would always take a nap. And I thought, that's the biggest waste of time I've ever in my life. When I get old enough, there's no way I'm going to take a nap. It's the middle of the day. Nap? These old people are laughing. Why is that? Why does it all of a sudden become... Because you're working. Work, 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 so your kids can play. Work, 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 work. And the sweetest thing of all is rest. And especially if you've got things to do. And they never cease, do they, Henry? Never cease things to do. By the time you get something built or whatever, you got to start fixing it. Don't you? It never ends. Never ends. Work, 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 work. But the sweetest thing of all, if you've got a project, you got things to do, the sweetest thing of all is when it's finished. It's finished. I've never lived in a finished house. I'll be glad someday. Rest. I mean, there's nothing to do. Just rest. Yeah, rest. Well, this is the thing in salvation and spiritual things. Everybody's looking for this and that and the other. Christ is coming. We ought to. We're coming here because we want to. Not coming here to try to make God pleased with us. We're coming here because He is. Not coming here to try to earn God's favor. We're coming here because Christ earned God's favor. We're coming here to rest. We're going to leave here and go to work. We're coming here to rest. Come unto me. He said, I'll give you rest. Your search is over. It's over. Done. It's done. Finished. You'll breathe spiritually. You'll breathe a great sigh of relief if you come to Christ and say, oh, I'm glad it's over. And someday, Nancy, we will, all of us, collectively, in glory, sigh, it's over. Rest forever. No more work. And we'll play in the fields of the Lord, His children. All right, let's just stand, and I'll dismiss us in prayer, okay? Stand with me. Our Lord and our God, thank You for those sweet words, wonderful words of life You uttered. Come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, may we take Thy yoke. By Your grace and mercy, may we come to Thee, take Your yoke upon You, us upon us, and learn of You, learn of Your heart, mind, will, and spirit, Your great work, finished work. Find rest, rest for our soul. Lord, we pray for our young people. Spare them, Lord. Protect them, watch over them, restrain them. If it's Thy will, saving purpose, constrain them by Thy love to come to Thee. May they bear the yoke in their youth, for the evil days come nigh. Lord, save them from this world, this untoward generation. And us, Lord, all of us. Save us, Lord, or we perish, all of us. We come to Thee this morning. We ask these things for Thy glory's sake, Thy name's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.